Hey, everybody. You're listening to Caitlin Bristow's podcast, Off the Vine.
Take it away, Brie.
Wine. Lots of wine.
KB on the mic. Turn it up. Let's go. Hey, Ramen, Pino, ready for the show? Everyone's welcome, so come on in, because OTV, it's about to begin. Hey.
Welcome to Off the Vine. I'm your host, Caitlin Bristow. My face hurts after talking to my guest today. It's stuck in a giant laughing, smiling face. And if you don't already follow her on Instagram, you need to do that. And if you don't follow her on TikTok, you need to do that too. Average Fashion Blogger, that's her handle, but she's so much more than that. She is an up-and-coming comedian we are all going to see in all of the movies before we know it. I'm putting my money on it. I'm manifesting a role with her and Jennifer Coolidge, but there's actually a lot more to her and her story than just her hilarious, funny videos that we see online. There is writing and work and practice and thought and planning. People forget that a lot of comedy is scripted and written and has to be performed and executed well for it to be as hilarious as it is. So I actually really loved getting to chat to her in this more like realistic, real side of her and what goes on behind the scenes of her videos. Also hearing about her decision to have part of her stomach removed to help change a very toxic relationship she had with food and how that's changed her life. I ask her a bunch of listener questions, so find out what her bachelor limo entrance would be and her confession, which requires finding the other person in the world who it happened to so that she can pay them back. And you know what? A good 5-second rule game that she failed miserably at, but almost made me pee my pants. So overall, a win. Pop open some vinos, and I hope this episode makes your day. All hail the fucking corn. I am obsessed with you. Like,
everyone. What's up?
No, I'm kidding. Oh my gosh. I just like you. I'm so glad I discovered you. Okay. So I'm going to start off with the cameo that you sent me, because my girlfriend Kat is the reason why I found who you were. She was like, you need to follow Average Fashion Blogger. She's like the funniest girl on the internet. And oh, so I started following you on TikTok and then Instagram, and we just would send each other videos of you all the time back and forth. And like, anytime we were having a bad day or anything, just send a video of you. And so she was trying to figure out what to get me for my birthday. Uh-huh. And she got me a cameo from you. And she was like, look, I knew she wasn't going to disappoint, but she literally just did a 3-minute skit for you. And she's like, this is like the best gift I could ever give you. I've watched it. I've showed all the people in the Bachelor crew, like everyone, because it was
so
best. Nice.
That is so kind.
Oh, wow. The best. She's going to listen to this podcast. She's like, she literally texted me and said, are you podcasting with her? And she put like corn emojis and she was all excited. So,
oh my gosh. Well, I'm glad she asked me to do that then. That's really sweet.
It was just incredible. Like she just, you did not disappoint. I have questions about that cameo later. But first, I wanted to know, I always ask comedians this if they come out of the womb funny. Like, were you funny as a kid? Or, because I know you discovered your love for comedy later on in college, right?
Kind of, yeah. Well, like I always, my dad and I like fought a lot growing up, but he would always get mad because like I was funny and like make him laugh. And I know I always was like appreciated by adults for my humor, but and like was known for being funny, but it wasn't like funny. Or I feel like when I moved to LA, I learned more of like what my comedic voice is.
Yes.
Like I knew how to like hit it off with people and like make them laugh casually, but I didn't know how to like create and write until I moved and like really like committed to it.
How did that happen? You just were like, oh, I'm like, did you have a different career path? And then you're like, wait, I'm actually way too funny to be doing what I'm doing.
Hold on.
And yeah. Like, how did that happen?
Last a day in an office. No, a lot of trial and error. It happened so like organically. And in college, I kind of was like, okay, I really do think I want to move to LA to pursue acting and comedy. And I knew comedy would be like my way of getting in the door, but like acting was always like the big thing I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So then Average Fashion Blogger started because I was just like making fun of one of my friends. And it started really just to like make my friends laugh. And then it gained like a following on my campus. Uh-huh. And so it really was like, oh God, I hate those videos. Like so many of the videos in the beginning, I'm like, that wasn't funny. Like, I can't believe I did that. But it was so much of like, just like continued. It was like a drug. Like I couldn't stop creating this, and then like getting feedback. I would ask everyone. I would like in my sorority house, I would like hear someone making one of my video, like listening to one of my videos, and I would like stand by the door and like wait for them to laugh. And if they didn't laugh, I would like take note and be like, okay, they didn't think that was funny, but like maybe if I tried this. It was so like, it's been so much of just like engaging with my audience and like learning from them.
That says a lot about your confidence. Cause if somebody was watching a video that I thought was funny that I did and they didn't laugh, I'd go like cry in a corner. I wouldn't like use it as motivation. I wouldn't be like, I gotta do another one. I'd be like, I fucking quit. I can't do it.
No, it's more like an anxiety. It's like, I'm like, okay, I have to figure this out. Like I'll figure it out. I'll get them to like me.
So I cannot imagine. I went pretty far back into your videos and I thought they were all hilarious. And like, it's just funny because I'm obviously in the world of like so many bloggers and influencers and I'm guilty of stuff myself. And I just laugh so hard because it's so easy to poke fun at, like the same kind of thing as in the Bachelor franchise. I watch as a viewer and I'm like, this shit is so funny. Uh-huh. How is this guy crying already? But then when I'm in it, I'm like, oh my God, it's so sobbing. Like,
yeah.
It's like, so, but it's the, what was I just watching? You're like, hey guys, this is my purse. It's from Walmart. I love the vintage like rip in it. And
oh my, yeah, I know that one's so old.
Yeah. I went way back because,
oh my God, that's so sweet. Yeah. That
because I was following you on TikTok first. And then I was like, got on a rabbit hole of your Instagram videos because you're saying, you're like, that wasn't funny. Yes, it was. All of it is funny. All of it. It's so good. It's so good and so funny because I've never had a designer purse in my whole life. All of my purses are from like Target or Payless Shoes. I found some really cute ones there. And so watching that, I'm like, relatable.
You're like, okay, yeah, we probably have a lot of similar objects.
Yeah, that's so funny.
It's also weird, like, living in LA now, too, because before I was, like, in Oklahoma, so, like, I wasn't, like, around anything, didn't know anything, and now, like, I've been in LA for 3 years, so I've just, like, grown up, and, like, life's changed, so I feel like I know, like, more of, like, what I was making fun of when, in the time, I didn't even know I was making fun of some of the things. It was just, like, my actual life, but I had no idea that I was, like, poking fun at things.
It's just incredible. And your online comedy basically started just in that way, right? Like from the average fashion blogger, from it getting traction. And because now I love the world we live in where like comedians can have a platform on social media, right? Like, because I'm sure you've obviously done stand up and stuff, but do you prefer stand up or do you prefer being online?
So I hate stand up.
Oh, you do?
I'm working on a one woman show, which I'm actually really excited about, but no, I don't hate stand-up. The few times I've done it, I actually love it and it's gone well.
Yeah.
But I'm so used, because since I like learned my comedy online, I'm so used to like perfecting a bit until it's like up to like, I'm like, this is perfect. I know I like done everything I can, where stand-up is such an immediate feedback. And like, I can watch a video of mine and like, I'll pretty much know the response I'm going to get from anything. But whenever you're online, like if I say something that I think is funny and I don't get the laugh, like I'm sure I'll like panic hard enough to where it would be funny, but like I can't, the thought of it, I'm like, what if they like, oh, it's so scary to me.
That's true. I would think it would be scarier if you're standing in front of an audience and they didn't laugh. Like,
yeah,
has that ever happened? Because that, again, I would cry in a corner.
No, I have only done stand-up 2 times, and both times I think I was just having like a panic attack the whole time. So people were laughing because it was like, I don't think they knew what was happening, but something was happening. And so both times I haven't had to deal with it, but like the idea of them not laughing, like, I don't know. I won't put myself in that position to like be there.
Like, I'm just really funny so people would never not laugh.
Like, that's how could they never? No, I just won't let myself do stand up because I'm like, I can't handle them not laughing.
Wait, a one woman show though. Are you going to travel? Can you come to Nashville? Can I come and watch?
You can come to everything. Okay. I can take us to all the show. I'll just say I'm working on it, but who's to say if it will actually be born? But I'm really excited.
It should, no matter what, even if whoever is getting you to do this, if it's not with them, do it with someone else or do it on your own. You have to do a one woman show and you have to travel the world and make everybody laugh.
International pop sensation.
Yeah, you have to. You'd be international average blogger sensation. You have to do it. I'm like,
I think it'd be really fun.
I will rent you a tour bus. Anything I can do to help make this happen, I'm doing it, mostly because I just want to come with you.
You can find it. Oh my God. Wait, I need someone to come with me.
I'll be there. I'll like bring my wine and dogs and then we can just travel the world together.
You'll be my hype girl. And then we just get to travel and go to fun hotels. Kind of what you're doing now.
kind of what I'm doing now, except I'm kind of in lockdown right now because of the pandemic. Right. But
do you get to have fun there? Is it pretty like strict?
Last season that we did was so strict. We couldn't even leave the property, like so strict. But this time, like, we get to go out for dinner. If it's outdoor dining, we can go.
Okay.
Is my podcast producer making fun of me right now? She's always seems to be hungover these days. Yeah, I really, I don't know.
Okay, so you are having fun.
It's, yeah, but I pride myself on like not really getting hungover. And
you don't?
No, like very rarely. It's like rare when I get a hangover.
Do you drink hard or are you like just a little tipsy?
It depends on the day, but usually just like a couple glasses of wine.
Okay.
But last night, I don't know. Oh, I had wine and then I switched to tequila and then I went back to wine.
Uh-huh.
And I think that really did it for me. And I had to leave. I did a workout this morning and the trainer that I have just puts me on FaceTime.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, are you okay? And I'm like, because I never like to admit to him, like,
yeah.
It's like going to the doctor when they're like, how much do you drink a week? Like,
yeah.
I'm like,
I don't know, like once a month.
Yeah. Like, so maybe once a month, but like every night.
Yeah.
And so I was doing a lunge and I literally just like put the weight down and walked outside and like took out my like little headphones and I just started going.
No.
And I didn't throw up, but I was this close. And I'm telling you, I've never once in my whole life thrown up from drinking. Not once. Even
no
when
way.
I was like back in my like party days. No, uh-huh. I never did. So I was like, don't do it, Caitlin. I'm like, I have like a shirt that says vomit free since 93. And I'm like, I swear by it. I'm like, I'm not going
like,
to vomit.
Crying. You're like, if I throw up, I can't wear this shirt anymore. Like so upset about the shirt.
Change the year to 2021.
It's not
I was like, I'm not. I fought it and I didn't throw up. So thanks, Minnie, for calling me out on my own podcast. But that's okay. I would have told you anyways. Okay, I want to talk about the cameo that you made me. Are you okay if I post a little clip of it to my podcast page?
Of course. The only issue, I never do my cameos.
Oh.
And so I guess just if you're listening to this and God forbid you have been someone that has been let down, just know it's not you. It's me. I overthink every time I do a cameo. And I'm really
sorry.
Stop it.
You overthink that?
Oh my God, I overthink everything.
It's so funny when people shock me with that kind of thing. Like I would have never expected you to overthink anything.
Yeah. And that is something else that I overthink is like, does it look like I care too much? No, cameos are so crazy. Cause I'm like, I can't believe someone's paying me to do this. And then I'm like, this isn't worth it. And I'll make someone's cameo like 8 times. And then I'm like, no, I can't. Like I just can't, which is way worse than doing
people
it.
Would like, literally, I think they would just laugh if you like just said like hello and said like something small. I don't know. I feel like it must be a lot of pressure to be known as a comedian though, because then people just expect you to always be hilarious and that's kind of draining.
It's a weird, yeah, I used to like with my head really hard, but now I'm like, I can only do what I can do. And I also like used to prioritize funny over everything. And now I prioritize just like being kind over everything. So that's I'm like, nice. If they don't think I'm funny, like at least they'll think I'm kind, which is like more important.
Aww.
So that's what I'm trying to do now. But then when it comes to cameos, I'm like, I know they want me to be funny, but I'm not in the mood. Like, it's just so, it's weird.
I get that. Cause you have to have boundaries too of like how much you, you know, are giving to other people while you're trying to like, you know, sometimes cameo. Well, this is what I found because Jason had it. And I find that like, that's what you start doing on your downtime when really on your downtime, it should be your downtime, not to be on even uh-huh. more than you have to
oh,
be already.
Yeah. Do you do cameos?
I don't, but it's genius. Like, because.
Oh, it's so smart. Yeah.
It like, I'm so, that was the perfect birthday present for Kat to give me.
Oh,
and my,
and
like now
you-
we quote it. Like, we'll be like, stop being a little bitch.
Oh my God, girls. Whenever I heard your podcast, when you were talking about how much it meant, and it literally, I was like, I have to start doing these cameos more. Like, that was so sweet.
It really made my whole week. Like, you really should, again, have the boundaries of when it feels right for you to do it, because that can be extremely overwhelming. And that is kind of a reason I don't do it. Cause I feel like I would get overwhelmed and want to please everybody and make sure I respond to everybody. And then I would want it to be top quality content, and especially if they're paying for it. But yeah. I mean, that is, it's your job. Your career is to be a comedian. So you have to, you make money to be funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so, you know.
No, stop being a little bitch. Just kidding.
Yeah. Okay. I start crying. I'm like, don't twist my words back on me.
No, I will say you were very funny, and then you were very kind at the end. I was like, okay, good. But I thought, do you know who Manon Matthews is?
No.
Okay, you guys would get along great. She's, I hate when people do that. That's like me telling me I should be friends with Bachelor people just because she's a comedian. I told you to be friends with her, but she's actually the kindest human being and super funny, and she lives in LA, so immediately just think of you two being friends. But yeah,
well, great.
She does impressions of people. It's great. Do you do impressions ever? Because I can't ever do an impression of anyone.
Really? Not really. I'm like, no, really? That's weird. Great. No, me either. Nope. No, I do like a few. I like, sometimes I just naturally sound like Lindsay Lohan or like Britney Spears or Jennifer. Like I can, if I like tweak my voice a little bit, it sounds like it. So people might think I do impressions, but I really can't. It just is like the little, it's the ones that I'm already like kind of going for.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Your videos that you did going back to 2017 for your New Year's Eve, like when you ran into a bush.
Oh my God. That is so crazy. I refuse to watch those.
What? Okay, you're blowing my mind right now. Because I was going to ask, another part of me was going to ask how you have all the confidence in the world to like put out these skits or be this funny, but that you, I can't believe you overthink them and sometimes don't think they're funny. Like,
yeah. Okay. So I think I'm trying to put myself back in 2017 me. I think at the time, I don't think I realized what I was doing. Like, had I known what I was doing was going to create this career for me, have all these followers, all these things, I don't think I would have posted. I think
it
would have
been. Stop
it. Yeah. I don't think it was just for my friends. So it was like a Finsta is how I thought of it.
Hilarious.
Yeah. And now, I mean, I guess I don't overthink. I'm kind of pushing into how much I overthink. I don't overthink as much as I care a lot. Like, okay, I'll post something and then I care like a lot about the feedback.
But you get a lot of good feedback because
my audience is so kind.
People on my Off the Vine page were so stoked that you were coming on this podcast. Like,
were they really?
Yes, we put out.
You guys like me so far. What do you guys think? Are you guys still happy I'm here?
Yes, everyone is so happy you're here, including me. You're just, it's like I don't know. People just want to get to know you more because they see this one side of you.
Right.
And everyone, like, so we went to ask people questions or have them ask you questions. And so many of them were like, no questions. I'm just obsessed with her. She's like the funniest person on the internet. She's like a light in our lives. And everybody was just like going nuts about how much they loved you. So
it's so bizarre. It's insane.
That blows my mind too. I thought that's what, like, you'd want that career to have all these followers.
Oh, and I do.
It just, like, it's funny that you wouldn't have wanted that 5 years ago or however long that was, because
I think I would have wanted it. Just, I would have been a lot more scared to post. And then
I feel that.
I don't know. It's such a weird thing. Like, it's, my friend and I joke about, is this whole thing of like, everyone look at me and stop looking at me right now. Like, it's like this constant, like, I need all eyes on me. And like, does everyone like me? Yeah. Okay. Everyone never look at me again. Like, it's just like this, but then, yeah, like I delete social media from my phone every day. And I'm like, I actually have outgrown this and I no longer need that affirmation. And then like 2 seconds later, I'm like, wait, no. I need everyone to tell me that this joke is funny. Like, it's just a constant, like, I don't know what it is.
It's just a little internal battle with yourself you're having.
It's just a little fun thing that I like to do every day with myself.
It's just a fun game you do to torture yourself.
Do you get nervous when you post on social media?
No. I mean, yeah. I get nervous that I'm going to like get canceled or say something like that I don't know is wrong.
Right.
I get scared about that. But Jason says to me all the time, he's like, you don't even think before you hit send. I'm just like, I'll like have a funny idea or a thought or a post and I'll just go like send. And I don't even think twice about it. Or I don't really overthink it either. I overthink when I don't post. I'm like, why am I so boring? Like,
yeah.
People are going to stop caring because I'm just so boring. I'm not posting enough. And then I overthink it. But then once I do post, I'm like, I'm on a roll. And I think I'm very
holy shit. Here I go. Yeah.
Somebody stop me. It's so fun.
Those days, though, when it's coming and you're just posting, oh, they're so fun.
I agree. I feel like that's the best stuff is when you, I mean, that's what it comes across as when you post, like, it's just, it makes me giggle because you just, it feels like you don't give any f***s, and I just love that so much.
I do. I
think I'm making it worse for you because I'm like, oh, well, I thought this. And you're like, no, it, that still is me. I'm making it worse for you right now. I totally get the battle.
It's just it takes me, from the moment I have a funny idea to posting it, it's probably like a total of 2 seconds. But then I'm obsessing after, does everyone think it's funny? Did it hit the way I wanted it to? Things like that.
Like when you ran into Pilot Pete, did he ever comment on that?
Okay, so I was actually with Pilot Pete that whole night. And I had it.
Oh.
He was, this is actually the sweetest thing. We had already like met earlier that night. And then later I was like, hey, I have a funny bit I want to do with you. And then he was so kind. He was like, I have like laughed at so many times watching your videos. And now I get to be a part of it. This is the coolest thing. Like, it was like a very sweet moment. And then we like made the video and it went well. So
I thought you were going to say, and then we made out. And
No. No. And anyone trying to get tea on that, nothing happened.
I was trying. I was like,
and then I'm like, oh, shit, is it cutting out?
Oops, bye. He actually is a very kind person.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was funny because he played along with that. I was like, oh my gosh, does he not know who that is?
No, we were like, I think we even did the bit like 2 or 3 times. Because I was like, wait, I think I like messed it up. Like, let's just do it again. Oh, he was like completely in on it. Yeah.
That's so funny. The other bit that you do that I die is your like plastic surgery hacks, but like in natural ways. So when you like did the Gatorade lip flip and like,
yeah,
or the, like the bands around your mouth and just like really natural ways to plump your lips. I was like, that the Gatorade one killed me.
Yay. Yeah. The Gatorade one was like peak quarantine, I think. Right.
Yes. I feel like I did that as a kid.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
I would, like, suck the bottle and, like, get a ring around my mouth and think it was so funny and cool.
And then Kylie Jenner did it. And then, like, people started, like, trying to sue her because they were like, my lips exploded.
Yeah, that's not the best hack if you actually injure yourself, but.
Yeah, that was so funny when that went around. Everyone was, like, coming to class the next day with, like, bruised lips.
I kind of want to do it just, like, to like, all my social media and be like, oh, I learned this trick from Corny and then just do it.
And then you do it.
And then I'll do it, yeah.
Well, it will leave also, like, for a few days, your lips will be, like, a little bit tinted because it does, like, bruise
perfect.
Them. Yeah.
So make sure you do the red one.
And you're filming right now, right? Was it so fun to, like, get to be a part of that whole process?
Yes, it's really cool being on this side of it because I was on The Bachelor, then I was The Bachelorette, and now I get to be on like the side where I see the production side, and it's so fun. And like, I actually feel like I'm bringing some value to Michelle and to Katie because nobody in the world can really say that they've done what they're doing except for like 15 other girls in the world. Yeah. And so being one of them, I love the real talk. I love when she's like really upset and I can go in and be like, validate their feelings and their insecurities and be like, this is normal. And like, how can I help? Like,
you've had so much time to like think back and like debrief that you probably are like, you have so much more knowledge to like give her and be like, hindsight, yes, this is what it is.
Yes. It feels like we're actually like mentors and support systems rather than just like a host role.
Oh my gosh. Which is so good that she has y'all.
Yeah. And I honestly get jealous for 6 years ago, Caitlin, because I'm like,
right,
if I would have had that, that would have changed everything. Like,
yeah,
just to have a couple people who feel like friends around, because you really are just
lonely,
like in a bubble, can't talk to your friends, can't talk to your family, don't have your phone, just surrounded by producers, trying to make television while navigating real feelings. And so it's so cool to be able to feel like a real friend. Like when I go in to have chats with her, I really don't know what she's going to talk to me about so that it's real conversation. Mm-hmm. And me just being like, oh my gosh, I remember that. And I remember that. And this is normal. And like, you're allowed to feel like that. I know this feels wrong, but it's right. Like, it's so interesting.
Wow. Did you like being The Bachelor or which did you like better?
I loved being a contestant on the show. Okay. I had so much fun. I made so many girlfriends.
Yeah.
I feel like I was just like, I was in the perfect time of my life of like zero F's given. I truly was just being myself. I didn't worry about the cameras and like, I mean, I got nervous sometimes when I was around him and the cameras, but like in general, I was just like, I'm just going to be myself. And I had so much fun. Then as the Bachelorette, it was a complete nightmare. Like I hated constantly dumping people.
Yeah.
And like, I always felt like the bad guy because guys, when you dump them, they hate you. They don't like that.
They're I'm like, oh yeah. As if I've dumped a bunch of guys. No.
Keep going. Well, I mean, it's very, I swear, look at this picture of my fiance, by the way.
Oh, no,
that's you. Your reaction was perfect. You're like, his childhood picture is just, it's everything. But yeah, on The Bachelorette, I was just like constantly hurting people's feelings. They were always mad at me. I just felt like I was always disappointing people, even producers. I was disappointing them because I'd like sneak out and like try and find the guys when off camera and like. Oh, I went in and found two of my guys' hotel rooms and just spent the whole night in there, like telling them like certain things and them telling me certain things. And I got in so much trouble. Like I got in so much trouble all the time on my season. And I just felt like I was constantly like in a room crying, doing something wrong.
Oh my gosh. Wait, that's bizarre. How old were you
when you were 29?
Oh my gosh.
Oh no, I was 30. I was 30. Yeah. I was 29 on The Bachelor and then 30 as The Bachelorette. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a wild time.
That is so much to go through.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. But I grew so much as a person. Like I came out of that just knowing exactly like, well, actually I was a little lost for a while, but like you process so many emotions and talk through so many feelings and like it really feels like you're going into therapy every single day. The producers are very good at their job.
Yeah. And you just have to be so strong. Like it really, I feel like it's fight or flight.
Yes.
Like your body's just like, we're doing this. We're by ourselves. Like we have no one, like we don't know anyone's intentions here. Like,
yep.
Like it is not fight even or flight. Contestant mode. It's just like, it's you fighting to like, oh my gosh. Well, it's also like the whole franchise has changed so much as far as like social media and stuff. But I do feel like 6 years ago is a little bit more heart-heavy.
It was like right when I was on The Bachelor, that's right when Instagram started like going nuts and people like starting to promote things and getting paid for certain things. Like I don't feel like anyone came on my season to like be Instagram famous, which is nice. I didn't ever think about that. Like obviously that's something people have to worry about now, but
2015 is like, I don't feel like people had understood that it was a career thing.
I didn't either. I came out and I was like, someone was like, I'll pay you this to talk about flat tummy tea. And I was like, hell yeah.
You're like, yeah. Okay. How much?
I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Because I know you make fun of like, you know, the fashion blogger thing. I want you to do a review of my sweatsuits. So I'm going to send you one of my sweatsuits. Because I'm launching an apparel line tomorrow that's part of like...
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Congrats.
Tomorrow. It's so cute and comfy. And because I have a... So I have a scrunchie line. I like wear scrunchies every single day and I'm obsessed with them. And so I started a scrunchie company and then we kind of expanded and did like different clips and like hair things. And then we did bucket hats and now we're doing sweatsuits and they're so freaking cute. So I'm going to send you one and you have to like make fun of it and send it to me.
Okay, I'll post it. They'll be so excited because I haven't really done fashion content in a while, and I feel like they'll be really excited to see a little bit of
that. I'm craving some fashion content from the average fashion blogger, okay?
Well, okay.
You got to give the people what they want.
Yeah.
Now go overthink it.
Now go do it now.
Right now. I want to watch you do it in real time. Okay, also I had a question. I don't know if this is a bit or if this is serious. Did you really have surgery?
Yeah, I did get my stomach cut out.
You did?
Yeah, that's real life. But
do you talk about it or are you like private about it?
I'm totally comfortable talking about it. I talk about it like a lot in my personal life. It's not like an easy thing for people to understand just in like public. And it's like easy to talk about in a situation like this because like it's real conversation. But it's really hard. I don't know how I want to go about it yet as far as like just publicly being like,
Right. You know? Yeah. I feel
but this is like totally fine. I'm comfortable with this. Don't feel like you're pushing any weird.
Okay. I'm sweating.
Yeah, I did get my stomach cut out.
Do you feel better? Are you good now? Like,
I guess if anyone's confused, in January I got, it's called the gastric sleeve, and I got 80% of my stomach removed.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's like a pretty intense surgery. A lot goes into it. I did speak about it like a little while ago. I made like a little podcast, and it's crazy hearing that because I was in like such a different place than I am now.
Wow.
But I talk more about how I decided to do it. And it's not an actual podcast. It's literally like a SoundCloud link because I like don't know how to do Spotify or anything. But I think my biggest regret with that was just like talking. I like failed. I didn't mention how like serious and intense the surgery is. And I feel like a lot of people were listening to it and they're seeing me like lose weight and stuff. And they're like, shit, I'm getting my stomach cut out. And I'm like, I guess I should like really emphasize, like, this is a very big, like lifelong decision.
And you have to like prep for like a year going into it, don't you? Like the way you like.
Yeah, it depends. I didn't. I did mine like out of pocket. So it wasn't through insurance. Cause with my weight, I was like such on the cusp of qualifying for the surgery or not. That if I wanted to qualify, I would have had to like gain 4 pounds and like prove that I was like trying to lose weight for another like 6 months. And I was like, I've been doing this for 10 years. I like really don't want to wait 6 more months, like prove to you that like whatever it is in my brain can't do it. I ended up like from the time I decided to do it to getting surgery, I want to say it was like 3 weeks. But it also was like, someone said like, it's not a quick decision when like you've dealt with something like that for so long. So.
Right.
That's kind of how.
But as long as you feel better now and you're happy you did it, so that's great.
So much better. I did it mostly. I had a really bad relationship with food, like a really bad relationship. And so it really just like the way I think about it, I don't know if this is like a wrong way to think about it, but it's like if you could fix your brain to not have anxiety and or like have an addiction anymore, you would. And I needed to have surgical help in order to break my addiction to like my food toxic relationship. And so the surgery did like exactly what I wanted it to do. And I like really have never been happier.
That's amazing. Kelly Osbourne did that same thing. And I had her on my podcast and she talked about how that helped her with her relationship with food too. And that's a good point though. Cause I suffer from bad anxiety and depression. I take medication for it. So it's like, that's something that has healed you or helped you in a way. And I think that's incredible. Everyone should do what's best for their body.
Yeah, it's great. And I was nervous about being so young, getting it done. But I like am so glad I didn't wait even 2 more months to get it. Like,
yeah,
I was scared I was jumping the gun and like just being silly. But I like looking back, I'm like, I know I needed it. And like, I just needed it. Like, I
love that you did that for yourself.
Really happy about it.
And thank you for talking about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a few questions that some of the listeners had. Stephanie Amanda said, who are your creative inspirations? And a lot of people actually wanted to know this, where you get your comedic inspiration.
That's sweet. Okay. Meg Stalter. Do you follow her on Instagram?
I don't know.
Okay.
So.
You have to. She is the truly the funniest girl in the world. Like,
tell me your name one more time.
Meg Stalter. She was just on that. Did you watch Hacks by any chance?
No.
Okay. It's an HBO show that also is really funny, but she was cast in that past season. And like Judd Apatow tweeted about her. Like, she's so good. And like, she's just, I'm obsessed with her. I know her personally as well. And I like do not know where the line is from being a friend or a fan. Cause she just like, she's so funny. And I don't know. You'll just, once you see her stuff, you're going to be like, I get it.
I just
like,
followed her. I'm going to go down the rabbit hole on her now too.
Yeah. Okay, I think cool. Her work ethic, I really, and just her goofiness and like how much fun she has is really like aspirational to me. Cool. She's really good.
Meg D Dub says, ask questions about Courtney's bachelorette experience.
Okay. Did you ever see the video? I did a fake bachelorette video.
Yes.
Okay. Does she want like a goofy answer? Does she want me to actually answer? I don't know what she wants.
Actually answer.
Do you ever really quick to be like,
because you did like a thing on Bachelor or Bachelorette where you were the Bachelorette And you were like, totally thought everything was going well with a guy who clearly was not into it. I didn't know if there was something another experience she was talking about. I thought that's what it was, but yeah, explain what you did. And
okay. Well, I worked with Comedy Central for like 9 months. I was like part of a program and we were supposed to move to New York, but then, COVID hit. So then instead we like got to go to a house in Palm Springs for a week and work on like a bunch of material that we didn't get to make when we were there.
Oh, cool.
And then they gave us like a day where we got to make our own stuff. And so I got like 2 hours and I got to like direct and make this little fake bachelorette thing. And it was so fun. And the boys were so good. Like they were totally in on it. And I don't know. It was just so fun.
It was funny. They was it be on that TikTok or Instagram or both?
I put clips of it on TikTok, but it's, I think, a 6-minute video. So it's on my IGTV.
Oh, okay. That's where I want to send people to watch it because it was so funny.
It's probably the coolest thing I've gotten to make.
Really?
Yeah, just because I had so much access and it was the first time I was like, cameraman, stand there, sound. Like, I just got to like direct everyone and then be like, boys, you say this, I'm going to say this, and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to cut to this. And it was just so fun to be like, everyone listens to me.
Yeah, totally.
Everyone listens to me and I'm the star. So everyone has to listen.
That's a win-win right there.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. I asked some of my guests this, if they are fans of the show, what would be your limo entrance?
Oh God. Yeah. I think about this every time. I love watching the first episode. It's so honest and they try so hard to be not like they try to have this thing planned, but then they're so nervous that like, it's so genuine.
It is so genuine. I got to watch live as it's happening while eating popcorn and drinking tequila. And it was incredible. Yeah.
Dying laughing.
Yeah.
No, I think I would just, like actually picturing myself, I would probably go out and I'd be like so diving into it. Like I'd wear a little tweed skirt and like tiptoe over it and be like, ha, like so annoying. I think that's what I do.
You would just be yourself. That's not annoying.
I would be like running my fingers like up his arm being like, what you thinking about? Like just being, I'd be so annoying. I know it.
I would die to see that. Okay. Classic Corinna said, how do you feel if celebrities acknowledge one of your videos?
It's just like a little encouragement of being like, oh, cool. Someone else believes in me.
I don't know if that's
the message you're trying to say by sharing my video, but I take it as they believe in me. That means absolutely. I'm going to be okay.
Absolutely. Wait, who's the biggest celebrity if they like commented on it that you'd like poop your pantaloons?
Brie Larson follows me. And yeah, that feels really good.
That's a nice one.
Yeah, there's a bunch. JT Firstman, he's like a little comedian. He writes for Big Mouth. He's like really good and smart. So whenever he thinks that I did something funny, I'm like, okay, really? Yeah. But I do want to say Lena Headley one time did a very big shout out and it was really kind.
Really?
Yeah.
Like shared your video?
She was like posting my videos on her actual page.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Oh, that is cool. That's totally a confidence booster. Gosh, I would. Yeah. I just posted when Jennifer Aniston responded to me about Friends, I literally died inside and I'll never get over it. And I said to her, are you and Ross still together? And she said, well, we're on a break. And I was like,
no.
Life complete. Yeah.
Oh my God. She's a big one. I was just thinking about her this morning.
I think about her every day.
Well, guess what, sweetie? I've been thinking about her the past 3 years.
You just one up me.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Jesse Thorell. Well, that was a tough one. How has your surgery impacted your mental health? That was the question.
Ooh, I don't really know completely yet because I feel like I'm still adjusting. So much has changed in the past 6 months. Like, I feel like I woke up in like a new girl's life, kind of like dating's different. Everything feels different. So I don't really know. I know I'm still like kind of adjusting in comedy. Everything is changing right now.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, like I feel really good. So, it's nothing bad. The only thing bad is like, it's not even bad yet, but, like a lot of people have been like really encouraging on my weight loss, which is really sweet. Mm-hmm. But then I know I'll probably have a hard time if I ever gain 1 pound. Cause I'm like, I was so encouraged when I was losing weight that I know if I ever go the opposite direction, it won't be when someone's yeah. so, people are so nice in One Direction, it like, they're being so nice, but then at the same time, it's like, making like little things in my head be like, okay, we love when this happens. So God forbid the other thing happens.
Right.
You know, that's like that's the only weird thing, but
yeah, that makes a lot of sense though.
I feel really happy though.
Good. Love that.
Yeah.
And Little Miss Hands said, what is your best audition story?
Probably my first audition. This was like 3 years ago when I first moved to LA, and I pretty quickly got with like a very great agency, and they knew I was new, but I think they didn't know how new I was, where I truly like knew nothing. And so they were like, okay, you have an audition, blah, blah, blah. And then luckily I had a meeting at the agency that day. And so when I was there, I was like, okay, like, where do I go for the audition? Like, is it here? And they're like, what? No, it's like at the place. And I was like, what the heck? And so I went, and it was like on the, I want to say like Universal Studios lot. So I was like so scared, never been. And when I'm nervous, I get really bad dry mouth. And so I walked in, and it was like for like an actual like show, like a big one. And I like walked in, and they told me, I'm doing a bad job explaining the story, but the only thing my agency, I was like, I don't know anything. Can you like walk me through it? They're like, all you have to do is like, in the beginning, be like, hi, my name's Courtney. Would you like me to slate? And slating is saying like your name, height, and where you are based.
Yeah.
And so I like walked in, and I was like, the only thing I need to do was say that. I knew my lines, but I was like, hi, would you like me to slate? And they just stared at me, and they're like, there's no cameras. What? And I was like, so what does that mean? Do you want me to slate? And they were like, there's no cameras. I was like, so do you want me to slate? And they were like, no, there's no cameras. And I was like, okay, got it. So then like, okay, go. And at this point, my mouth, like, I couldn't say anything. And so I literally just looked at them, and I was like, I'm so sorry. And I left. I
didn't know.
I couldn't. It wasn't even like, I said the first line, and it came out so weird. Like, let's say the line's like, hi, how's it going? I was like, hi, how? And like, because I couldn't. It was just so bad. I knew. They knew, I knew, I was shaking like so obnoxiously. Like, yeah, I left. I did call my agent, and I was like, I don't think that I probably got that one.
That's so, so funny. I used to audition for commercials in Vancouver when I lived there, because my girlfriend was an agent, uh-huh. and she would be like, I'm just going to send you to this. And I started trying to like get commercial gigs, because a lot of commercials are filmed in Vancouver. And so many times I would just not go and be like, oh, that went great. And just because I would get too nervous, and I wouldn't go into them, or I'd walk in and everybody would look like me, and it would freak me out, and I'd just leave. I'd be like, what? Like, because they're clearly going for a certain look, and it would freak me out, and I would just leave. And then she'd be like, how'd it go? I'd be like, yeah, it was great. I nailed it. Probably gonna get a call back, and then just never wouldn't be like, oh shoot, I wonder what happened with that one.
Like, that's so crazy.
I just got too nervous. It's so intimidating auditioning. Do you know who Biff Naked is by any chance?
I don't.
Okay, she's Canadian, and she was like a singer that kind of had like a big hit back in the day. And I auditioned for one of her music videos. And I walked into a room, and it was just this bright lit office with like her manager and a bunch of people sitting there behind one desk. And another girl walked in, and I was on the same cheerleading team as her. And she walked in, and we had to do the audition together. And they told me I had to push her up against the wall and kiss down her neck. And I was mortified. And I did it. I did it. And I committed to it. But I was like,
I did. And I did it great, honey.
It was the best audition of my life. It was also like the only, I only did two. But yeah, it was like so terrifying. And you're just sitting in this bright lit room, like with people staring at you, and they're like, hey, go. Like,
so weird. No, that's crazy. That would throw me for a loop. I think I would do really bad at that. I'd be like, no, my mouth's too dry.
I wanted to just do what you did and walk out, but I would like felt so much pressure because the other girl was like, oh, at least we're friends. And I was like, yeah. And then I just couldn't look at her the same after. Like, oh, I'm so sorry I violated you.
They're so, and they're so like, when the minute you like walk in, it truly feels like an alternate world. It's just like so out of your control. And yeah. Just like, you just want to please them.
Ugh. Yeah. You kind of just have to surrender to the process and just be
anything
like,
they want. You're like, I'll do anything.
Yeah. It's so weird. Except for that. And then you walk out and because you have dry mouth.
Yeah.
Okay, I was wondering that because, you know, every podcast I get my guests to confess something to me. And I was like, I wonder if you have a funny audition one. But really, that just, you just
I guess I'm just leaving. Well, it kind of sucks, though, because they held off on auditions for a little bit for me because I was like so nervous and had a really hard time like just being myself. And so now I'm like at a point where they can put me in. And but now it's all self-tapes. So it's not even like, I'm sure once we go back to in-person, I'll have like a million stories, but right now they're pretty boring.
Well, do you have any confession? Anything you want to confess?
I have a confession. They told me this was coming and I actually am really happy because this is something bad that I did that I'm really excited to get off my chest.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Okay.
I was in college and I was at the laundromat getting my laundry done and I was in my car and I was backing out and these two girls were next to my car. And I'm actually like so scared of actually getting in trouble for this. I'm sure like felt like I hit something, but I was like, no, I think if I hit, like I ran those two girls over and I drove. Like, no, I'm kidding. I didn't.
That's what I was like, oh my God.
No, I didn't hit the girls, but I felt like I hit something. And then I like, my windows rolled down and I was like, I didn't hear anything. And the girls are still talking. Like, I feel like if I hit something, they would have like looked or something. And I think I know deep down, I knew the real situation, but, and I kept driving home. And then I like walked out of my car and I just like looked at it and there was so much paint on my car and I knew I hit the car behind me. And then I felt so bad. And so I went back to the laundromat and I was going to tell the person, but the car was gone. So then I went home and then there happened to be like a bunch of police cars by my house at this point for something else. But I was on the couch, like couldn't move for hours. So yeah, I did a hit and run.
Okay. And
that was about 4 years ago. I do think about it still.
I'm really glad you felt safe enough to tell us all that because we're here to say it's okay and nobody got hurt.
Nobody got hurt. And if you happen to be the person at the laundromat and out of nowhere, the back left corner of your car was hit, I'm happy to fix it now.
Oh my God. Could you imagine if somebody really, if they like listened to this podcast and they were like, that was me. I too have been thinking about it for the last 4 years.
I'm about to get like so many DMs of people randomly with like, just trying like to get their like fake car issues.
Or like actual issues with their car, but they're like, oh, she'll fix it if I say that. What color? No, don't say what color paint
it
is.
It was me.
Don't say what color paint it is. And then we'll let them, if they get it wrong, then you know, you can't fix their car for them.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so I have a quick game before I let you go. It's the 5-second rule. I'm going to test your wittiness, quickness.
I start throwing up. Okay,
let's get it. Okay, so in 5 seconds, this is my timer. Name 3 famous Michaels.
Michael Jackson. Michael J. Fox. Michael. Oh, one second, I'm gonna go Google real quick.
That was really close.
Did I say Michael Jackson?
You did. You said Michael Jackson, Michael J. Fox. Michael,
I don't even know who Michael J. Fox is. Oh, I'm looking it up now, and now I do know who he is.
Okay, ready? Name 3 famous Jennifers.
Jennifer Aniston, Jennifer Lawrence, Jennifer.
You're Googling.
Jennifer, oh my God, Jennifer Coolidge.
Did you watch The White Lotus?
Oh yeah, did you?
Yeah, I just finished it today. Holy shit, that's such a good series. And I was just like, I'm so sad it's over. I keep hearing
the music really elevated that show so much. And Jennifer Coolidge is a like every move. She's like incredible. When she even went in for that makeout, I was just like, that is exactly how that character would make out. Like she embodied that so well.
I feel like that's her in real life because she just played it so well. Like I was like, I didn't even feel like she was acting. It was incredible. So I'm good. Obsessed with her. Oh, Jennifer Coolidge.
And like the constant confusion. Oh, she's so good.
And her just, her vulnerability in it makes me so happy when she's crying and she's like, I'm a dead end. I was like, we all feel that way.
You're like, me too.
Name 3 ways to hide a fart.
Okay. No, I'm actually like so good at this. Walking. Okay. Turn into your crop dust. That's always a good one.
Yeah.
Spread your butt cheeks because it doesn't make any noise. And if you like twist in your chair, that'll cover it. I'm actually so good at this.
That was really good. I love a good fart walk when you're just like, I gotta go over here for a second.
Well, I can't hold in. Oh, this is too much, but I just can't hold in my farts. It hurts my stomach real bad. So now I really am good at getting those things out.
That's why you nailed that question. You're like, I know from personal experience.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Okay, last one. Name three smells that make you gag.
Gag?
Yeah.
No, I'm like, I don't gag.
It's actually a weird thing I can't do. I can't wait.
Bad smells. Maybe
the 5 seconds is up. I'm giving you one more.
Okay. Well, actually, I can't stand when I can tell someone's eaten beef in their breath, like hot beef breath.
That's actually so disgusting. Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. That's I can't do
hot that. Beef breath for the win. That's
and like I'll kind of like I won't be able to really. Talk to them for like a little while after that, like a few weeks. It really like hit
three to five business days. Oh, that actually makes me uncomfy now. And yeah. Now and I'm going to look out for beef breath.
Yeah, and it's like hot. Oh,
I'm sorry. It's hot. Sick. Okay, that would definitely make me gag. Okay, last one, I promise. Name three excuses to give when you don't want to do something.
Oh my God, work, sick. I was just came in contact with someone from COVID. Okay, that's a good one.
That's good.
Yeah. I have to get tested. I feel like sure. Those are people, because people can't like go over that, you know?
No, you can't be mad at that either. You'd be like, oh, yeah, do that.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well, that was my game. Did you enjoy the podcast today?
Oh my God, I had so much fun. This was such a nice conversation.
Okay, good, because I really had a good time with you, and I'm just already sad that it's over.
If you had the option not to ask me to be on it, like you could go back in time, would you still ask
me? Yeah, I would still ask you to be on it.
Oh my God, thank God.
Yeah, yeah. And I would go back and ask for 2 hours of your time instead of one.
I'm like, yeah, no, I actually do have to head out of here.
Like I got a heart out.
No, I
gotta go get tested. That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I think everybody knows, but tell everybody where they can find you.
Okay. My handle and everything is Average Fashion Blogger. I will be honest, I don't post too much fashion stuff anymore, but I'm just having a good time.
You're so fun. I absolutely love following you. You're one of my favorite people to follow on the internet. So thank you for always making us laugh.
Well, thank you. And thank you to Kat for letting this friendship happen.
Yeah, you know what? She is to be thanked for that. So I'm going to send her flowers from us.
Okay. Can I want to pitch in.
Okay. Well, you can just tell me what to write on the card.
Wait, how much money are you making per episode?
I'll get this one. You'll get the next one. But have to tell me what to write on the card.
Hi, Kat, sweetie pie. The girls are hanging and the girls are loving you. Thanks for loving us.
Yeah. That's perfect. Okay, I'll write that down.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for asking me to do this.
Anytime. You're always welcome on the podcast. And if we're ever in the same city, we're definitely hanging out.
We're hanging out. And if I ever come to Nashville for my show, you're front and center.
Yes, front and center. Oh my gosh. I would be... I have a really loud, obnoxious laugh, but I feel like it makes people laugh too. So it would be perfect. I always love sitting in front of comedy shows. And you can pick on me.
Okay, perfect. I'll have like a whole roast section.
Perfect. That's
you're like, perfect. Wait, no, I didn't mean it like this.
No, I did. It's, okay, it's perfect. Perfect. I love it. Thank you so much. And I will probably DM you after this.
Yay. Okay, thank you.
Okay, talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
I'm Caitlin Bristow. I'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. Get new episodes every Tuesday exclusively on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.